coming up on Thunder Pop.
We got the show. Do I have to read anything? You wear sunglasses?
You can do all the
barrier of life?
You can do all the above.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
It is episode number 31 of the Thunder Pop podcast.
31?
31.
I don't get 32. I've been 32 years in the motion picture industry.
Well, you get to come back. You'd have to come back and record that.
No, I don't know.
You could get time next week.
Are you rolling?
We're rolling.
Oh,
man.
Good. That's great.
And it is with my great privilege and pleasure.
Welcome to the pleasure dome.
And with anxiety and anguish that I bring you the one and only Kirk-O-Matic, Mr. Kirk Hunter.
Hey, has this got everything in the Scooby-Doo sandwich?
Everything.
Is that cheese, bologna, bananas?
Everything and the Scooby-Doo. Yes.
Everything in the Scooby-Doo. Ooh. Where did that start? Yeah. Early on, everybody asked me, where does the Scooby-Doo sandwich come from? And I'll tell you. It started out as a Dagwood sandwich. And if you look up Dagwood and Blondie in the early 50s, mm-hmm. 40s. Anyway, it started out with a Dagwood sandwich and then... later on, it became the Scooby-Doo sandwich.
The Scooby-Doo sandwich was a reference in Scooby-Doo.
The show.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying they stole that from...
At the end of me watching cartoons in the 70s, okay? You kind of end not watching cartoons anymore. Yeah. And what happens is Scooby-Doo came on. It was a horrific TV show. And I hated that thing.
You didn't like Scooby-Doo?
There was one thing. There was one thing that was good in it. And that is... the Scooby-Doo sandwich. It had everything.
Like what? My favorite. A double, triple-decker sardine and marshmallow fudge sandwich. Open the mouth, between the gums. Look out, stomach. Here it comes.
They stole that from another show?
Uh-huh. It's a Dagwood.
And what's Dagwood?
Yeah, Blondie. You don't know Blondie and Dagwood.
Oh, the comic strip.
The comic strip.
So they stole that from
Dagwood. They didn't steal it. They didn't plagiarize
it. They borrowed it.
They borrowed and put
creatively.
It in. And for the new generation, it's called a Scooby-Doo sandwich. I'm glad and proud to be on number 31.
In 31, what will we be talking about? Oh, by the way, you like the opening background music? This is
Now, that's going to be mixed in there all the time. I would rather have I want Led Zeppelin music.
Run along with it.
All right. What is that, Prince?
No, it's just our opening background.
It's Prince.
It's opening.
Rip. It's Rip Michaels.
It's not Prince.
It's Michaels.
George Michaels?
Yeah, George Michaels.
Who's Rip?
He's aha.
Who's Rip Michaels?
Rip Michaels.
Is that the hybrid of Rip Torn and George Michael? They have a kid together?
No. It was Prince and Michael. Because they died at the same time. They're meeting up in heaven.
Oh. knocking on heaven's door?
Yep.
You got to have some
Zeppelin, man.
Oh, you want some Zeppelin?
Yeah. You got Zeppelin?
The music.
Oh.
Are all closed with the what she can get. What she can.
Can she? That's the question. You can't put this on the air. Holy rollers! I love it. Okay. Now we're rocking. Wayne's World, we're here in the garage apartment.
What in the
it's
hell?
It's Wayne's World, air guitar, yay!
What in the hell was I thinking by having you on this
that's
podcast?
That's right, man, and I'm copied up. I don't even have two coffees yet.
And I gave this man...
Cup of joke.
And I gave this man coffee before mm-hmm. we did the show.
Got to get him juiced up, ready to go. Because otherwise you forget everything. It's got to be frontal lobal, not the back lobal.
Kirk Hunter, tell us where we can find you. Drop some plug.
Kirk-O-Matic you can find me on the web at Facebook. You know, you just Facebook Kirk-O-Matic. Or you can Facebook Barn of the Blood Llama. Or you can Facebook Gibby Jabowski. You can Facebook me at Away With Film. You can Facebook me at Texas Drone Saw Massacre. I'm making hundreds of movies. I have so many Facebooks. I have so many websites you can't even keep up.
Book 'em, Dano.
Yeah, book 'em. Yeah, that's right. That was my first post on
Facebook
about 10 years ago.
Wait, it was Book 'em Dano?
Yeah, Book 'em Dano.
Facebook
'em Dano.
Facebook 'em Dano, yeah.
It's terrible. How are you going to be able to put that in there?
Led Zeppelin? Hells yeah.
I'm going to put it. That's great.
You like this, though. It's got some throbbing beat in the background. on the 31st episode of Thunder Pop from the Thunder Pop Dome. We are going to talk about unconventional things people have done to make a movie.
Everybody's trying to climb the mountain to where they want to be. Tell me right now, what is the formula you think that gets you to where you want to be?
We'll answer that question on this episode of Thunder Pop.
Young kids that are always making little movies and they want to know which camera to use, which actors to get, where to shoot it, all these questions. And I ask them, where do you want to be in 2 years with your motion picture or your so-called motion picture industry life?
I want to be doing porn.
Who is it?
It's the plumber.
Plumber? I didn't call a plumber.
You're in the wrong town, baby. You better go to
I'm
L.A.
I'm already in the wrong town. I'm making the biggest mistake.
God. It's a big East Coast syndicate that owns that. Where's the pretzels?
We'll have pretzels. We'll talk about unconventional things people are doing to make movies. And then I've got some...
It's just low budget.
I'm going to throw some curveballs Kirk's way.
Okay. I'm ready.
We're going to listen to our theme song. And we'll be right... and we'll be right back.
I lied.
Thunder pop.
We're here. It's there. It's all over the place.
And I have brought a lunatic. That's
right. It's a fringe. It's a lunatic fringe.
Lunatic into the Thunder Pop.
Hey, I don't have a magazine. I'm on my table.
I've brought raging lunatic into the Thunder Pop Dome to be my co-host today.
Okay.
Kirk Hunter. Kirk-O-Matic.
Kirk-O-Matic.
A legendary.
Omniscient. Everywhere.
Well-known Austin independent filmmaker.
I'm an underground, not well-known, underground filmmaker.
Well, to each his own. To each his own.
Okay.
One man's golden nugget is another man's turd.
Turd a Kraken. You need to get those guys making...
I want that on my tombstone.
Yeah.
The day I passed away, I wanted to say one man's piece of gold was another man's turd.
Okay, there you go.
Get
the headstone started. Get the headstone. Carve that baby out.
I'm going to carve that baby out.
Carve it.
I'm going to do that on Wednesday.
There is a movie... there's an independent Austin film festival that wants the worst movie ever made.
A new one? A recent film festival?
Uh-huh, yeah. It's called Austin Independent Film.
Have you entered your...
I want to enter the worst movie you ever made. And I want to send one to them. I've got several.
We started this podcast way over a year ago. We already had our 1 year anniversary. We've loaded our first podcast up on archive.org.
Uh-huh.
And then I sent an email blast out to my friends and say, hey, new podcast is up. I got a review right away. My first review.
Who?
And I had talked about this on the show before.
Oh.
How I always suspected who it was, but I couldn't pinpoint it because you never came forward about that you had done the review.
You did. You emailed me, and I emailed you a short chat back saying yes or yeah.
Well, I didn't catch that.
Y-A.
I overlooked that.
Y-A.
I overlooked your response.
Well, I'll put a reply on it 10 years later.
It goes on to say, it says...
You want me to read it?
Okay, go ahead.
Can you give it to me? You slacker boys. Golly, November 11, 2015... Film flunkies yak about shows. You slacker boys say, get a job. Your podcasting is way freaking way too long. Sheesh. Don't you know that these swish finger swappy dog kids old today got to no time old time to listen to yapping your snappy happy jacko square yahoos all day? Where you been these?
Well, I'm glad I let you read it.
That's got more character, right?
Yeah, you definitely had
a little Scooby on
it. It definitely had some character in it.
Otherwise, you see the shock level of that. The reason that you would read that is because it got your attention. That's what happens.
And then I noticed at one point you had deleted me off of Facebook. What was that about?
I got a call from...
I thought you were mad at me.
No. I got off of Facebook because they thought that there were two Kirk-O-Matics.
Facebook them, Dano.
Yeah. There's another Facebooker called Kirk-O-Matic in Japan doing animation. And they clucked me off. And so I got 3 months of everybody, and I couldn't get back to everybody because nobody knew. So I had to change my name.
People were messaging you on Facebook.
And they told me at Facebook that I had to send them a driver's license with my name Kirk-O-Matic on
it. To prove that you're Kirk-O-Matic.
Right.
Because they were saying, no, Kirk-O-Matic is the animator in Japan.
Uh-huh.
And it was just...
He was just a slackjacky playing games. And putting up pictures of anime.
I wonder if I've ever friended him.
You can look at it, Kirk-O-Matic on there, uh-huh. And it's a different Kirk-O-Matic, and he's got all these pictures of animation.
So they didn't want you to use Kirk-O-Matic on your Facebook.
Right,
name.
Because he was a bigger entertainment value.
According to their.
But you can only search that through Facebook. You can't search it on Kirk. You can Google it.
Other sources.
And that's a different spelling.
You could sue him.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I don't got time. I got to go on with my show. My mm-hmm. show is Kirk-O-Matic there.
Yeah.
So anyway, you have to refriend me, so you got to send it.
Yeah. Well, I refriended
otherwise
you
go to the barn. The barn site's fine.
I thought you were mad at me or something.
No, it was because of Facebook. The Facebook people screwed me over for 4 months.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But wait. Anyway, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're not mad at me. I'm glad you didn't delete me off of Facebook. And,
it's because you don't know where Captain Badass is. Where'd he go?
And at the same time, I'm extremely regretful that you're here.
I wish I could
take it back.
Okay, I'm leaving.
No. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Now, okay. We talked about one of your biggest feathers.
Motion pictures.
Biggest feathers in your hat is a motion picture producer.
Uh-huh.
Barn
of the Blood Llama.
Blood Llamas.
Yeah. I produced it, I shot it, I acted in it, directed by Kevin West. Yes.
That was a teaser trailer.
Yeah, somebody put that up. They steal pieces out of the movie because it's so popular.
You have the full movie streaming on YouTube?
No.
I see
right here.
That's
illegal.
It says full movie stream.
And you know what happens when you do that? You'll get a cookie that'll crash your machine.
Is it a trick?
It's a trickster.
You didn't put that on there.
No, I didn't. You can only get it from me direct.
Who's doing that? It's a trick. They're trying to trick me.
No, those people are trying to stream it. It's illegal to stream it. I send them an email saying that's plagiarism. I'm the producer of the movie.
Somebody called Willie Isma One.
Yeah, he will get in trouble. Because it's not on the web.
Now you said at one point you thought that you had been robbed, that you had made the worst movie ever.
Yeah.
And they made the best worst movie, which was about the worst.
Trolls.
Trolls.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible movie. But you said,
but it has big actors in it. We only have one big act.
If you had your like collage, that's the Kirk collage of mm-hmm. all the things that Kirk has done, that mm-hmm. Kirk says that this is me, achievements, mm-hmm. the llama's on there.
Oh, yeah.
And what else what else would be on there?
Seven films that I got. Okay. That I worked on, like Midnight Taco. I got.
There used to be an actual restaurant in Austin that was on a truck.
It was a truck.
Trailer.
It was a truck.
It was called Midnight Taco.
Right.
Now, was the main.
And those guys have a Facebook, and they Facebooked me because when I made a Facebook of Midnight Taco,
they
called me up on it, and I said, yeah, you can.
Well, this is before Facebook when this was going on.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And he finally made a Facebook of Midnight Taco. And I said,
made their version of a Facebook.
Right.
Their Midnight Taco.
Of their van.
So what this was, it was, and they're not around anymore, are they?
Yeah, they are. They email me.
They still are around?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to, in the 90s.
He's got a restaurant.
Late 90s. We were living in Hyde Park in the house.
And you saw the Midnight Truck.
Over by campus.
We used that truck.
And I used to order tacos on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
They pull up in front of your house in the van.
Uh-huh.
It's like, and they make the tacos in the van right there on the spot.
That's
and
right.
And they bring them into your door.
Uh-huh.
And this is before you had Uber Eats.
Oh yeah,
and
all that.
Postmates mm-hmm. and Favor yeah. and mm-hmm. Uber vomit on your front steps.
I was just a co-producer of that with David Boone.
So was the name of the movie inspired by the restaurant, or was it coincidence?
No, David Boone was working at Dell, and he came back to me, and he wanted to quit. He was going to be fired from Dell, and he came back to me. He says, "Kirk, I know you know everybody making low budget films. You got to help me make this movie." And so I said, "Okay, you get to pay me, and you got to pay everybody to show up, And he said, I'm going to sell all my comic books.
Pay this you with tacos.
No, he paid me in comic book money. He had hundreds of comic books.
I mean, back then, comic books were flipping for a lot more money.
Oh, yeah. He had a,
he had some gold, didn't he?
Yeah, he had like he had like 200K worth of comic books. So he said, I want to make, I don't want to collect on any of those. I want to make a movie. And I said, okay, you pay everybody.
So sold off all his comic books.
Uh-huh. And then we made
funded the movie on that.
And some Dell stocks. And so he got fired from Dell, and then we started making the movie.
He had a decent budget then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How much do you think he ended up spending on it?
About 80 grand.
And this was in 19...
It was 2005.
2005?
One.
2001.
Well, anyway, we finished the feature. Mm-hmm. I edited the feature. He died on the day they wrapped.
Yeah, I remember that. That was the thing.
So anyway...
So he got to finish the movie, though.
He got to finish the movie, but he didn't see it edited. I edited it.
So you had to finish it.
I finished it.
He didn't get to see the final cut.
No. But he knew what it looked like because he directed it all.
Were you planned?
I was the sound man.
Were you the planned editor?
And the co-producer.
Were you going to be planned to be the editor?
No.
He was going to edit it originally.
Yes.
So you
on a Dell. I told him we were going to do it on Final Cut.
So you took over editing duties.
Yeah, only because his mother was a co-producer of the film and nobody else wanted to do it. And I said, I'll do it. And it took me 2.5 years to edit.
So you and his mother had to really take over the reins at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody else was going to do it. I don't know where it is now. I mean, I don't have any rights to the film. But I'm proud of it because I got a lot of jobs.
Who does?
His wife.
His wife?
Yeah.
Oh, his wife's got that, so.
Yeah. A couple of screenings locally of it, and I finished it, and I did it for the actors. I got it to the actors in Louisville because it was all shot here in Louisville.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why Louisville?
Because that's where all the great actors really are. They're all theater trained.
Uh-huh. In Louisville?
Yeah, Louisville.
Kentucky?
Yeah. There is a world-class acting crew of actors in theater over there that is amazing.
So it's kind of a secret gem.
It is. Well, no, not within the acting trade.
The real
trade.
Acting
New,
trade.
If you're going to do New York stage acting, you go to Louisville, you go to Detroit, you go to New York, you go to Chicago, and you train for,
you go,
a while, and then you go to New York.
You go to Louisville for a while, that, and then you go, before you go to New York.
Sure.
Because you can work out stuff.
It's like Austin has a kind of a crew kind of thing. There's lots of theater here, but not really big time theater.
Not like they did up there.
In Chicago, unfortunately. Like
in Chicago and Louisville.
Chicago, yeah. It's kind of interesting that David knew, that's where he trained as an actor, and he went to, theater school there.
That's where you go to get your shit together first.
Because
if you go to New York.
I'm convinced because when we got there and we started auditioning these actors, I was blown away. I could not believe the grade. So we got about 5 actors from Louisville to be in that movie, and it came out pretty good. I think the movie came out pretty good.
Now, were these theater actors, though?
They are theater actors in the movie.
Were they harder to direct? Did you have to bring them in?
No, they just have to play smaller. And in theater, you have to project more. You have to be bigger and louder and all that.
Is it easier for the theater to go to film or for the film person to go to the theater?
It's easier for the theater to go to film.
Because
they have a hard time, usually, when it comes to cut. They don't understand the word, you're cutting in between my scene. They want to do the whole scene. It's technically speaking,
it's a little unnatural.
They want to get actors that come from theater because they memorize better. They know how to get into the character better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot better. So you'll find that theater actors, if they start out as theater actors, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be a chop-socky actor like me. I always started out in film because, we can do it again. Cut, we'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Cut, we'll do it again.
So you just never do theater?
No, I tried it, and it's just too nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it in high school. I didn't get really involved in acting. I don't, profess to be an actor. I do editing and I do shooting and the technical jobs because that gets more work rather than acting is just some sideline. If somebody says, hey, be in my piece, I will, because it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I don't take it as serious. So I've done it. I've done tons of acting and stuff, low-budget stuff.
You've been entrenched in the film community here for a long time.
Yeah.
You remember this? I'm going to play this for you. Close your eyes real quick. I don't want you to see as I'm dialing it up.
line is underneath.
Okay, you can look at the video.
Shock the monkey. Shock.
Now, where am I connected to that? David Boone. That's Armadillo Arnie. Armadillo Arnie is the guy that you go to get armadillos, and David Boone came to me because he was the production manager on that.
This is the Clash, Rock the Casbah, famous music video from the early 80s.
Right. And
filmed in Austin, Texas.
Right, and all over Texas. And so David was the production manager because he got the he got a connection through Jonathan Demme and this crew of musicians. Nobody knew the Clash at the time. Okay,
yeah.
So the Clash comes down, and they say, okay, you know some locations. And then David was frantic for locations and stuff. And he was the production manager because they said, he's the only filmmaker. See, there was only a few filmmakers in Austin at that time.
It was a lot smaller.
So they said...
This was 80?
81? Yeah, this was like 82, 81. Yeah. So he says, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Where am I going to get this armadillo? So he calls me up, and he says, hey... And I said, oh, that's easy. Armadillo Arnie's got, or Armadillo Sam's got whole bunches because he does races in town.
Yeah.
He goes all over Texas.
Armadillo races.
Armadillo races. That was a big thing.
That was a thing.
That's right. Like you have pig races.
Is that a thing now or is it
no,
gone?
It's gone. It's now chicken poop.
Man, I would have loved to have gone to armadillo race.
Well, they're very dangerous to handle the armadillo.
Yeah, I've heard
they're
that.
They're very dirty.
You don't pick them up.
You don't want to.
You can get like...
You got to get clean. You can get leprosy.
You can get the AIDS from them.
He's got AIDS.
Leprosy. And it's a very dirty animal, and you don't want to. If you pick them up, you got to wash your hands, and you got to keep clean on that.
Clean, hot water.
Oh gosh, it's dangerous stuff.
Some bacteria.
And they just don't want people picking them up anyway. But anyway, he had 25, 30 of these, and he had these races around Texas. And I said, you just call him up; he'll come out and do that. So he had to take it out to West Texas, where that oil derrick is. And they rented an armadillo for like $100 a day.
And they released it.
They released it and packed. No, he handles them. Uh-huh. They release it, and then they pick them up.
He's just like the crocodile hunter of armadillos.
That's exactly right. This is 40 years ago, man.
Have you seen the photo of Matthew McConaughey from this past year at the ACL Fest? He's backstage at Willie Nelson, and he's got an armadillo on his lap petting it. And it's on a leash.
I wouldn't do that.
And nothing is more like Austin, Texas, than Willie Nelson backstage with Matthew McConaughey petting an armadillo.
All right, all right.
Because you were the guy they called to say, where are we going to get an armadillo for the Clash video?
Well, it was really David Boone, and he said, I don't know these guys from Adam, and they want to make a music video. And music videos at that time were real hot.
Turn it on. Leave it on. America.
I want my MTV.
Okay, they're paying big bucks.
Yeah.
The only army.
Big thing.
The only. I did I was a camera assistant with Lee Daniels on a music video for Will and the Kill, Will Sexton. And so I was just an extra on that. And then Lee Daniels said, hey, come over here and load film. So I was a loader on that. Everybody was making music videos, and they were paying real good back in the day.
Oh, videos were a big thing.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's nothing.
And Charlie Sexton, Will Sexton's brother. He had this big song. You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Often forgotten about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he works with a lot of people, you know. And he still works a lot of people.
He's still around.
So, yeah. He's still around. You'll see him going down getting barbecue.
Kind of doing a Billy Idol thing like at the time. It's almost like the record label said, we want you to kind of do an Idol thing. You know how they are?
Yeah.
You know, the movie industry and the music industry. Something's
butts
hot.
Butts and seats.
Butts and seats.
They want to tail.
I get the impression, and I wasn't there in the room, but I get the impression they saw Charlie Sexton say, we want you to do a Billy Idol thing.
Can you do it?
Can you do that voice? Can you do that? I mean, he's very talented.
Sure.
Extremely talented.
Well, it's because he's new to the system.
He's young.
Yeah.
And he wants to get in the system.
Right.
You know, they said, we're going to want you to do this kind of thing here.
You got to go Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, if I, If I had made it big,
yeah,
with the Captain Badass thing, like really big.
That's right. They would have made you do
they
other
said,
things.
We want you to do kind of a, we see you as kind of Adam Sandler sort of type.
That's right.
We want you to do more yells you know and, why silly, they want to and silly voices.
You know why they want to typecast you? So you can be put into that system and play to that system because they get more audience members if you're an unknown.
And then they would have
you're not an unknown.
Then they'd have me over for a pool party.
That's right.
And they'd have two. And they'd clear the room and they'd have two prostitutes come in.
Yep.
But one of them would be an underage.
You've been watching way too much.
And they wouldn't tell me that.
That's right.
They would seduce me
and they'd
get it on video. Uh-huh. So then if I ever did anything
later,
you
end up on YouTube.
If it ever did anything later, they got the video.
That's right.
Say,
and they can blackmail you.
Did you know this girl was only 16?
That's exactly what
you were. They ruined
they got you.
They got me. That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you don't say.
You got to go Hollywood.
So you don't say shit.
That's right.
I'm going off on my conspiracy theories.
Oh, man. What a conspiracy.
Way off.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
Next.
What's the next subject? You were going to talk on budget, low budget.
Okay. Now we're talking about unconventional things that have been done.
Well, that is unconventional. That's for sure.
Yeah, that would be
yeah.
Unconventional ways people have filmed movies. They're shooting an iPhone.
And so do it.
So here's the thing. I remember when you were over at Austin School of Film.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a while now.
Yeah.
Were you there 2008 still? 2009?
I was 6 to 12.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you something about that in a little bit, but we'll go back on that.
Okay.
Okay. So Austin School of Film, you had your office over there.
Yeah, it was cool.
I'd go over there and
you tried to shy-town me with
poach
some
off
editing.
Poach off
you.
And you
were poaching, getting some free editing, didn't want to pay.
We were joking about how they were going to be filming movies on iPhones. And it was kind of a serious
I was serious.
But it was also kind of funny at the time, but we were pretty serious. And we were like, we're going to take these and we're going to have a whole film festival just on
movies. And there is a film festival.
Shot on iPhone.
Right. There is a film
festival. And somebody did it.
And there's a drone film festival now. I'm not kidding.
There's a drone film festival.
Uh-huh. You want me to point it to
it? Is there a GoPro film festival?
There is.
They got a film festival everything.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there is a film festival for any niche auto that you can think about.
One of these days, they're going to have a camera that you can just put on your pee-pee.
It's called a chest cam. Yeah. That GoPro has a chest thing that you put the chest on there. That's what you need to do during South By. You need to put this thing, their badge, and you have the GoPro right here.
I want the pee-pee cam.
No. Nobody's going to watch that.
The strap
they don't
on,
care about
the strap-on camera.
No.
It's an action camera.
Cut.
So, yeah.
Next.
I want the strap-on camera. You walk around with it, and it's strapped on.
And nothing's happening.
To your pee-pee. That's pretty much what would happen.
That's right.
It would be
you got nothing happening.
But I want a whole film festival. People strap on pee-pee cams, and they shoot everything with their pee-pee. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
No. So they actually have a film festival for anything you can think of at this point.
Right. If it has a camera, and there's an actor,
but at the time,
there is a film festival.
It was sort of a joke kind of thing we were joking about.
Right.
Well, then it happened in 2015.
Breaking news up in this place.
One of the best films at Sundance was shot using an iPhone 5S.
Right. But there's been short films that have won festivals like Sundance before this, too. Because I remember there was a film festival. I mean, there was a film festival and a short film made on an iPhone actually in Afghanistan during the war.
Mm.
And it won an award because it was so new and well edited. So even before what you're talking about, there's been iPhones.
We've always said in art, in media, it's not what it took to get there, but how it looks when it's done. Wouldn't you agree with that assessment?
That's right.
Like, if you had whatever software you use, whatever program you use to edit, whatever camera you shot on, it's what the end product is.
Right.
The
That's exactly
see.
Right.
The guy, that the cinematographer that worked on Dances with Wolves,
mm-hmm.
and he's worked on some other films with the same
crew,
same team,
mm-hmm.
was shooting with the little cameras way before even GoPro.
Dances with Wolves?
He had shot Dances with Wolves, but then later, years later,
really,
he shot a movie
with
also
a little camera.
With a little camera, one of the little hybrid cameras.
Yeah.
Because wanted to be able to get close in on the animals.
Right, okay, yeah.
And he says, if I had the big camera, I got the big camera.
You couldn't do that.
And he had talked about, if I had had that capability when I was filming Dances with Wolves years ago.
Yeah, he would have.
He said, I would have been right there on them. uh-huh. on the Buffalo.
That's why the older filmmakers are scared of the new filmmakers that are shooting on iPhones and GoPros and drones and all that stuff. But I keep telling the kids today that whatever you shoot it on, it doesn't make any difference. Because one of the problems with this ongoing battle between the haves and the have-nots that are shooting and editing mm-hmm. and putting stuff on YouTube, it's not the story about the camera or the quality of the equipment. It's the story. It's the content that wins. If you know how to do a story concept that's high concept or it has an interesting angle to it, that's what wins. You can shoot it on a cruddy little camera. You can shoot on any type of camera.
Yeah.
But if your story is dynamic, that's what's going to win the contest. But at the same time, one of the problems with the young generation, they don't have any story because they've been playing video games all this time and they haven't been reading enough. So if you don't read and you know novels and stuff that are long-form stories, then you're not going to know how to tell that type of story.
And they're watching short 30-second videos.
And they're watching YouTubes that are, you know, they're not well-made. Mm-hmm. And they're watching a lot of they're playing games. And that shortens their attention span for stuff that really needs to be told at length.
Needs more time. But they're still going to the cinema. They're still seeing movies.
They're still seeing movies, but those movies are even being chopped. I mean, I've seen some, Robert De Niro makes a movie and it's choppy. It's not very well storytelling because everybody has a shorter attention span because
they don't want to bore them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an unfortunate thing. So yeah, a lot of people that when they're watching your movie on the iPhone, they're saying, "Oh, I want to see something else. I got travels over here. I got my friend over there on Facebook." Mm-hmm. So a Facebook movie is really not the place to present it. That's why they have festivals.
It's amazing. Are you more attention? Attention deficit too, even now that though you didn't grow up with that,
right? I have.
You're still exposed mm-hmm. to it now.
Yeah, I have a real short attention.
You notice the difference in you now from, mm-hmm. from 10 years ago?
Right. Oh yeah, definitely. Because I'll cut differently. I mean, I'm cutting. I cut.
You're getting bored with shit when you look at it,
right?
And you're cutting
because I've seen it before.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing the same stuff. To transcend that, to get past that, is that you have to look at your film as it's edited,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to take it around to four or five other filmmakers that know story and know filmmaking, and they will give you pointers. You need producer feedback on it, and then re-edit it. It's just like when you write a script. It can't be brilliant right out of the box. You need to have other people read the script and give you pointers. That's because storytelling is very different from just making a YouTube reality. That's the problem. There's a lot of reality-based crap out there, and people think, oh, just because I'm there and it's new and it's different because it's a viral video, that's going to get me further in this game. It's not. Because I guarantee you, your second film, it's not going to be as good and bright and new as your first film
mm-hmm.
if you're truly concentrating on filmmaking as a profession.
You know, people are entertained now by scary clowns jumping out and scaring people at gas station parking
lots. That's just viral video stuff. That doesn't get you anywhere in the filmmaking business.
Do you want to see a scary clown jump out and scare someone at a gas station?
Sure, everybody wants to see a scary clown or cat video. That's what it is. It's just attention grabbing.
We should make a scary clown with a cute cat video combined.
I'm ready. Let's make that viral video.
You combine them.
That's going to get you further down the line.
Here, my cousin loves these killer clown scare pranks.
Oh, boy. Scary clown. Okay, play it widescreen. Throw away the ads. Okay, here we go. Do they know that the scary clown is coming?
So those kids are walking, there's a man on the ground, and then all of a sudden the scary clown comes out and starts chopping the man's head off. Splashing blood and guts.
What happens to the other guys?
Oh, now he's heading for them.
That's great. Scary clown. Okay.
So this is the thing. Okay, so you just saw that.
Yeah,
I've seen these videos. My cousin always posts these on Facebook. He loves these.
Okay.
He's obsessed with scary clowns.
Okay.
He thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
He thinks it's the best thing in comedy.
And that's great for this generation.
Since the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, okay? That's exactly what it
it's
is.
It's better than the Marx Brothers. It's today's version of that.
You couldn't watch a Marx Brothers.
He even made that his default pick on his Facebook.
Okay.
The scary clown. He loves the scary clown.
He's obsessed by the scary clown.
He's all in on the scary clown.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
So I started watching these when he would post them on. I get caught up. And he's like, this is pretty well orchestrated. But here's the thing. I'm wondering, at some point, because that was pretty scary. They scared the hell out of those kids.
It wasn't edited well.
Two kids come around. Well, okay. But two kids come around the corner.
Yeah. He could have drawn it in better.
There's a body on the ground.
Yeah.
Man laying on
the
ground.
They need to cut to a close-up.
Suddenly a clown comes up.
Yeah, it's not well edited.
Brightly lit costume.
Yeah.
He's got a big, what is that? Is
handheld hammer.
Hammer.
Yeah.
He starts chopping. He pounds on the body's head.
Uh-huh.
Blood splatters.
It's not well edited.
Then he starts heading over to the two kids.
It's terrible editing.
Chasing them.
Yeah.
The kids take off. They said, fuck this. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, they're running off.
And then
they believe it.
Cut to clown.
But they believe it.
Yeah.
They're buying in.
Uh-huh.
Not well. Good acting, though. The clown.
It's bad editing. It has no close-ups to the eyes of the clown.
Well, they shot it with, I think they just put a camera.
Yeah, they just did GoPro
It's a hidden camera. It's like candid camera.
Well, you need to have the camera on the chest of the clown.
It's low budget.
You got control of everything.
You're right, though. They did need to have a camera on the clown.
And the camera on the head of the pin of the guys.
Well, you didn't want to smash the...
Were those real people that were walking?
I believe they were.
Oh, I see. I think they were all in on it.
Well, here's the thing. My hunch is it could be that.
It's all
because here's the issue. If they keep trying to scare people with this stuff,
mm-hmm.
at some point, somebody's going to be armed, and they're going to think this is real. They're going to take their gun out.
No, they were all in on the game.
That's why it has to be, right?
Right.
Because if you start doing
a video that becomes real,
yeah.
then cops are called and guns are out and somebody, people are shooting each other.
Somebody's going to have a real
Don't
gun.
Ever try this.
Somebody's concealed. concealed carry. Yep.
And they could shoot you.
Suddenly you're going to
shoot the clown.
Suddenly they're going to try to play this prank on Michael Cargill.
Yep.
And he's going to be armed and he's going to shoot the clown.
That's right.
So it's going to
happen. Don't do that.
Let's watch
it's terrible.
Let's watch another.
Let's watch
Wait, are they coming back? The kids are coming back.
They're coming back for more.
Oh no, it's a different look.
Oh, I see. That's what makes it. That guy might have pulled a gun. You see?
That guy could have pulled a gun.
He's running, so it could be real.
Or do you think it's just so real, so freaky that people just take off running every time?
They would take off. Running.
So you think the people are in on it? Everybody? Everybody's in on it.
Well, now it looks like it could be real. But what happens
because
when somebody comes out with a gun and
shoots
them?
Because the guy's acting would have been really good if it was real. Well,
that's why you want control over your whole scene. You don't want to make movies like that. That's just viral video wanting to be a viral video filmmaker. I mean, it's not even filmmaking. It's viral video stuff.
It's viral video.
There's a big difference between the people that want to make movies and the people that are prankers.
It's like Jackass.
It is a Jackass thing. It's terrible.
It's pranking.
Yeah. How far do you think you can make it?
But that's a whole genre, though.
Yeah,
that's
terrible.
A different genre.
It is.
Uh-huh. It's a different section.
Uh-huh. It is a different section.
And you know those kids you're talking about with the video games?
Mm-hmm.
Clicking video game? They aren't going to go making movies.
No, they aren't.
They aren't going to go write stories. They might go make video games.
They'll make video games.
They're going to make video
games. And Austin has tons of video game companies
mm-hmm.
that are doing that. And South by Southwest has a whole section on video games. I don't even know or get involved. I'm not a video game enthusiast.
A lot of filmmaking talent
goes over to the video games because it pays.
Of the new generation.
And it's fine and good, but they don't know how to tell story as well, I think. I mean,
they only
have a short little story
in
there.
It's not a script.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
Tangerine is the movie that filmed on iPhone 5S
uh-huh.
in 2015.
Okay.
It's a breakout hit from this year's, from 2015 Sundance Film Festival.
Okay. And it's playing everywhere.
It's full of surprises. There's the subject matter. It's about transgender prostitutes working in a not so glamorous part of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And there are the characters that are funny. They're nobody's victim.
Yeah.
But the story behind the camera is as surprising as what's in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Alexandra, come here. Listen, have you seen Cindy?
Cinderella. Looks like someone has a crush.
Cindy's back on the block?
Oh, yeah, she's back. She's back and she's going hard.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
Woo!
I got some good news to tell you
about me and Chester.
I know what it is.
You're breaking up with him.
Thank God.
I'm gonna be cheating on you like that.
Wait. What?
You didn't know?
So anyway, it was filmed on 5S.
That's great.
It was a decision by the indie writer and director Sean Baker he made to accommodate the film's small budget.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd never guess the camera when you look at the film.
Right.
It was shot in widescreen with a 2:35:1 aspect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And its camera zooms through the streets of L.A. with a fluidity you'd never expect from a handheld device.
Right.
So he used...
So that's a shocking new revelation that you can make a motion picture on an iPhone.
They attach stuff on it.
Sure.
Now, he used an app.
And they got all the sound effects and everything and put it in and slicked it up.
External mic.
Yeah.
Now, they used an app. It's called Filmic Pro. It's an $8 app that allow the filmmakers to do graining. They control the focuser.
That goes in. That also is in Final Cut too.
They control the aperture, the color temperature.
Sure.
They were able to.
You can do that now.
Steadicam it. Mm-hmm. They were able to do all that.
You can do that with any kind of camera. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting. Look at this guy on this off to the side. Mm-hmm. He's riding a rideable hover bike. And the little...
That's just to get you clicking.
It's clickbait. I always get...
You're a clicker.
Pulled into the clickbait.
Cool.
Okay, another one. Woody Harrelson, this year.
Yeah.
Just about a month ago.
Yeah.
He did the first... I think this is probably...
Vulture TV.
This is the first movie, I think, ever live streamed while it was being shot.
Yep.
Okay. So this was Woody Harrelson. Mm-hmm. He did a live stream movie called Lost in London. It was released live in theaters.
This January, I am doing something that has never been done. I am shooting an entire film in under 2 hours and live streaming it directly into cinemas. A few years back in London, I had a most unhappy experience, and I decided that I would write a comedy about it. Every friend I have told me, this is a terrible idea, it's going to be a failure, which is how I knew I was onto something.
That's great.
When I made my way to Times Square Theater to see Woody Harrelson's live stream movie, Lost in London, I felt myself hoping that something would go wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe Woody would flub a few lines. This is off of Vulture.com.
Right.
Anyway, they made a movie. This was Woody Harrelson was playing himself.
Sure, he was trying to do something new, reinvent himself.
Owen Wilson's in the movie, his buddy, Owen Wilson.
Yeah, everybody's going to watch that because they have recognizable stars.
So it's about a real night in London where that Woody Harrelson got in trouble with the law and got into a mix-up.
That's great.
A scuffle, and he made the movie about that, and he made it on live
Something
stream.
Easy.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So Woody Harrelson's two-hour screwball adventure through the streets of London, according to this critic, went pretty well.
Yeah.
There were a few flub lines, minutes on end. When the sound wasn't right.
Right. That's always a problem.
One or two scenes where the actress' the timing was off. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Lost in London was pretty much what you expect from any Woody Harrelson joint. Shaggily competent, self-effacing, and earnest as a stoner's musing at 4 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. You were talking about...
My problem with those type of movies is that's nothing but... A clown movie again.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching it as an ambulance chasing filmmaker. You want to make a movie that's going to sustain. It's going to stay around, like La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you don't make a movie that's well edited and well shot and well storytelling, then you're just doing that as a shock of the new. Then you're not going to get any further other than your name. And Woody Harrelson and Owen Wilson, they can make movies anytime like that. But how long are those movies going to be in the mind's eye of anybody down the line?
So you think this streaming thing is kind of a neat...
It's a fad.
It's a fad experiment.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this?
And that's fine if you want to do fad movies. But how to sustain that as a career is going to be very hard.
What about the iPhone filming? Is that something that's going to become something?
I think people are already making iPhone movies. But I say again, filmmaking has changed. It's now personal videos.
Are we going to go to the theater one of these days, though, and see a movie in the theater that a big-budget studio made shot on an iPhone?
Yeah.
Will that happen?
That's going to be in the theaters.
Now, you know the Transformer movie used the DSLRs.
Sure.
For the scenes where the crashing from the building, they used them because they were able to get in like the shots a little bit more action.
That's right. They shoot a lot of stuff on DSLRs and red ones.
That's not necessarily a new thing.
No, it's not.
There's
a lot of filmmaking that's done on, reds and black magics and all this stuff. And That's I keep saying it's not that. It's the story.
Yeah.
And so these people have to reinvent themselves as an actor and say, well, I'm gonna produce my own movie because I can't wait around for the studios to give me another job.
A good job. Yeah, right.
I auditioned for all these films and I try to get in them. I'm going to make my own. That's what you're saying to yourself.
Sure.
Hey, nobody's giving me a job. I'm going to make my own movie.
And
you can. And you can make a website and you can do that. Yeah. You can dream. But the ones that really strike a difference that's more shocking or new or different is going to stick around a lot longer. How do you get it more unique? Because otherwise you're looking at a big movie and you're saying, oh, I can see the baggage of that guy. He's in Driver, you know, and Emma Stone is in The Help. Okay, I'm looking at these two dancers and I'm saying, La La Land, okay. That's what Hollywood does. They want to look at themselves as that. But, you know, us out here, we're making our own movies on our own iPhones, whatever we can to tell our stories. And that's what filmmaking has turned into lately, is that you're making your own story. You're becoming your own Hollywood. That little iPhone is a studio in your pocket. You got Disney, you got Warner's, you got all the studios right there. And you can distribute, you can shoot, you can edit, you can do everything at home now. That's what I'm saying. Because, I mean, waiting for studios to come to you, mm-hmm. It used to be you could put up on a website and you could make a Blair Witch, right?
Yeah.
And then a studio would say, well, I'll give you $2 million and we'll go out and make a better one with a bigger crew, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that you get caught into that system, and what happens is, where am I at the end of the day? But they're always looking for that next job, so they have to come up with new material. But if you're not constantly writing and constantly filming and constantly watching what is on the forefront of filmmaking, and it's all there on YouTube. I mean, they can teach you everything that you want to know about filmmaking on YouTube now.
I went to the cinema 1990-something, maybe late 90s. It was when the first Dumb and Dumber had came out.
Right.
Okay. Went with my cousin.
Yeah.
We went to a matinee during the week at the old Highland Theater.
Right.
Before it became the new, they changed the name.
Right.
They had a double feature.
Right.
Special, because the movie, I think, had been out already a while.
Uh-huh.
We got to it kind of later.
Yep.
And on the tail end. And they had a double feature they were doing, and this was in the 90s.
Right.
We were talking about things that were faddish or experimental.
Right, fad.
They were doing a thing in the theater where it was those movies, interactive movie.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It was a short, and it had one of the guys from Baywatch in it, one of the secondary roles. The guys.
They're just trying something new.
And it was a multiple choice thing where you get to a scene, and then people in the theater voted on what they wanted to happen next. So it was an empty theater. It was me, my cousin, and like maybe two other guys behind us in the back.
Yeah, and you pushed the buttons all over.
Yeah, we were pretty much making them, deciding the fate of them. And we would pick that. Me and my cousin was like, who are we going to pick this go around? What's going to be the next scene? Let's pick the one that has the best chance of girls and skin.
Mm.
So that's pretty much what we were like. Okay, more girls, more skin.
Yeah.
That's what was her. But anyway, it was like after it was over, it really felt more like we were playing a game than watching
right.
a movie.
You don't want interactivity. You don't want any smoke and mirrors. You want to get enthralled by the motion picture
And they had
story.
These little consoles on the seats that were in front of us.
Yeah.
Flipped over where you played the...
Yeah.
You picked your stuff on the little console.
Yeah.
And again, this is before... iPhone. Mm-hmm. This is before the iPhone movie.
Right.
This is before this streaming was even a thing. When it was all said and done, we went through that. We thought it was neat, but it didn't like change our. Didn't really. We didn't walk away with a big, huge impression about it.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, we watched Dumb and Dumber and completely was like blown away how funny it was. Uh-huh. And that's what we really were leaving the theater with as an experience.
That's right.
So.
It's a good story and funny and comedy and stuff like that. That's what's good.
It's a good example. We laughed.
I think comedy really is ruined by YouTube too.
Well, I mean, you know me. I was making Captain Badass movies like years ago, and we were making these like the 15-minute long videos.
Yeah.
And now
I've got some 5 minutes.
Now I make a movie. If it's over 2 minutes, I'm like, okay, is this going to be too long?
Yeah.
You know, that one I just
a 3-minute feature.
The one I just showed you before we started recording, that was 2 minutes exactly.
Yeah, and that clown thing is 2 minutes. I mean, if it's 10 minutes, you're going to bore them because they're out of there. You know why? Because there's too many things out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a gold rush.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's changed in the low-budget world. It's great. You have all these tools. You have all the equipment to do it. But you know what you're missing? Your 5 or 6 friends to help you make it. And that's the key. That's what I keep telling people. Mm-hmm. How are you going to get your friends to show up? You can't. Because guess what? They're making their own movie.
They're making their own movie. So they have all their toys too.
Now. So you got to learn to barter better. You got to say, okay, I'll buy a meal or a coffee over here if you be in my movie.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm working on my... I've got 10 films right now that I'm working with other people that are paying.
See.
And I can't break away. Or I'm editing this, that, and the other. I mean, you got to schedule it tight.
Or you got, and then you got to compete with other people if they barter too, and they barter, or they offer something.
Right.
It's like, well, I'll give you a coffee.
You right now, you think that I'm sitting at home editing something right now. I got five other producers just like you, and we got to schedule it.
And
I mean, it's just
all,
lucky that I'm off today.
And they're all offering burgers too,
right?
Burgers and coffee,
bigger gold
so,
burgers.
So I have to call people and say, well, I'll do reach arounds and circle jerks with the burger and the coffee.
Where's the burger and the coffee? I mean, that's the key. I think that's the key. I don't know. It could change tomorrow. I mean, you know, it's so difficult for this generation to come across that. What I'm saying is that you have so many people that are sitting there saying, oh, man, I want to make this feature, but I don't have any friends. You can't do it. You can do one or two people, and you can make those. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start including five and six people, the scheduling is outrageously hard because everybody has an iPhone. Oh, I'm busy. I'm working on this film. I'm busy. I got to go to work. I got to go get some gas money. I got to get food. I got to do all these other things. I got to do my laundry. I can't be messing around with your movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to include yourself into their lives. How do I do workaround? How do I come? Okay, I can get a shot of you at the lake if you're at the lake.
Yeah.
Or where are you going to go? You got to show up with your camera crew right there. That's why you can do it with an iPhone. You can just show up and shoot it.
So you're saying the key is people need to get back to working with people again.
Yeah,
groups.
I keep saying that, and they don't do that because they won't give up their time. Their time is so minute.
And they need to barter to make it worth the other people's time.
Mm-hmm.
You work a little bit for them.
One of the things I will tell them.
Come over, I'll work a little bit for you.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the way I work it. If I work on your film, you have to guarantee me in writing that it goes to a festival. And I pick them.
Hmm.
And if you're not willing to pay the money to put them into the festival, then you're not committed. That's what I tell all the producers. I'm working with a couple of producers from Houston and the south side of Austin right now. And I tell them right there, sign this contract. You got to guarantee me that you will pay the money to put this finished film edited and put it into a film festival. And I give them the festivals
that you want.
That I want you to at least put them in. If you don't, then I'm not going to shoot you. I'm submitting. You don't.
They're least submitting.
The least submitting.
Yeah.
And that means they have to spend money. That's $35.
Mm.
Okay. You see what I mean? Because if you're not committed, why should I? I have something to bring to the table. If you don't think so, we'll just go down and have burgers. You know, mm-hmm. I can do this. This is fine because I'm sitting here. You know, we got nothing. But once you start asking people to do stuff for you, you got to say, hey, well, yeah, I'll pay for that. I'll get this done. I'll finish that. You got to be committed. Okay. It used to be you and I were making movies.
Yeah.
We would work on all these things, and you would put them out on YouTube, and I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came time for you to commit to a feature length of Captain Badass, that was hard because you guys would not put that into film festivals. You had a screenplay. You sat on that for 2 or 3 years, and I said, well, I guess they're not committed anymore. You have to be committed, and you have to show people that you're committed.
Yeah,
this is commitment because you spent all this money on this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm showing up. Because I wanted to see how a podcast would go.
Yeah.
Haven't done one.
You want to see what was
That's going. The other thing. You see, you got to see commitment. That's why you got to show people, hey, I've got this green screen. I'm going to do this great stuff.
People see commitment. That
they see commitment.
That inspires them more.
I think that attracts them to that your production. Not just a script. Everybody's got a script. Hundreds of them.
Script on a napkin.
You can cut all this great
stuff. We actually cut a movie. We wrote a script before we started this part of the coffee shop.
Yeah, that's right. So you got a whole pitch.
And that's
are you committed? Can you get the monsters? That's the hard part.
I'm inspired by all
You're
this
inspired.
Talk about doing a movie and doing it unconventionally.
Right.
And those filmmakers, those great filmmakers that made that movie at the Sundance Film Festival on the 5S.
You're inspired.
So me and Kirk have accepted a challenge.
Yeah.
before the podcast, we talked it over, and we have decided we're going to do a 24-hour
movie. Yeah.
Shot on my iPhone.
Right. Feature length or 10 minutes?
Short.
A short.
Short film.
Okay.
We're going to shoot a short film.
Okay.
If it gets...
Are you going to edit it?
I'm going to edit it.
Are you going to me edit it?
I'm going to edit it.
You're going to edit it.
I'll edit it. Yeah. Okay. You're a producer though, so you could be feedback.
Feedback.
On cuts. On
sure.
Cuts you think.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. We're going to shoot it, edit it.
And then what?
All shot in 24 hours though.
Are you going to put it on YouTube?
At least 80% of the movie has to be shot on iPhone. At least, okay.
We can shoot the whole thing.
We agree. We thought we might do at least one shot with a drone and one shot with a couple of GoPros in the car.
Whatever.
Horror film genre?
Yeah.
Zombie theme?
Yeah. Come up with a title.
24 hours. We haven't come up with a title for it yet.
You can do that.
We're still working on the title.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to do
That's a creative difference.
We're going to film it, and then we'll, after it's complete...
Are you going to stream it, or are you going to put it in a film festival?
Both. We'll do both.
You got to put it in a film festival first.
We'll do the film festival first, then, I guess.
Well, I think
you
should.
But it has to be for short film category.
There's tons.
I'll do a film festival with it.
Yeah, I got a list of freebies.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I think we had a pretty good concept.
Okay.
Kirk's going to star in it.
Yeah. And we'll have all the other crazy characters,
I'm
going to
make
too.
A cameo in it, yeah. And I'll direct.
You'll
and,
shoot it.
And we'll script it together.
Okay.
But after it's done, we'll come back. We're
going to put it on here.
We'll readjourn for another podcast.
Okay.
We'll do the part two of this. We'll talk about the filming.
The filming. And the making.
And the experience of it.
That'll be good.
From our perspective. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a little break.
Okay. A little break? You're going to continue?
A little tea break. And then we come back. Your character, Gibby.
Yeah, Gibby.
From the Barn of the...
Hey, doggies.
As a TV executive.
Okay.
Gibby the TV executive.
Yeah.
I'm going to pitch three ideas to Gibby for TV concepts.
Okay.
And Gibby's going to pick the executive... TV executive, Gibby, is going to pick...
Yo!
Which of the three shows...
Three motion pictures.
He wants to green light.
Green them.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thunderpop, in association with D's Nuts Productions, got 'em.
All right, I'm heading into Netflix. I'm knocking on the door here. To talk to the TV executive Gibby.
Yeah, you do.
From Barn of the Blood Llamas fame.
And
what else?
Muhammad's Radio.
What radio?
Muhammad's.
Vomit's Radio.
No, Muhammad's Radio.
Oh, and from Muhammad's Radio. Hello, hi. Hello, Mr. Mr. Gibby.
What do you want? What do you want?
I got scheduled to pitch three concepts, and hopefully one of them gets picked up, greenlit.
Yowzy, what are you bothering me early in the morning when I gotta get up?
Okay, I think you're going to like my pitches.
Pitches.
All right, not bitches, pitches.
Pitches. Okay. You wanna make a movie? Good luck with that.
TV show,
a series? Oh man, that's low.
Streaming
videos.
TV show.
Okay.
The first one, it's called Petey and the Holodeck.
Petey and the Holodeck? How's that gonna go?
So here's the idea: a 40-something-year-old.
Yeah.
That's you.
That. Still lives in his parents' basement.
Basement!
Huge Star Trek nerd. Okay?
Okay.
Grew up with Star Trek.
Okay.
Alright. He dresses and he goes to the cosplays.
Cosplay.
Dresses up,
yeah.
Goes to the conventions, never misses the movies, always in line first.
Okay. Yeah.
Dressed his costume, cosplay.
I get it.
Okay.
Okay.
He's also a techie.
Okay.
He works for...
He's a tricky.
He works for an IT company. He's a big techie.
Okay.
He... builds his own, inspired by the TV show Star Trek, the inventor, he builds a real holodeck.
Oh, man. You're going to have so many copyright and patent problems with that.
That's where we'll have you come in, Mr. Gibby, TV executive.
We'll have to get
permission. But no, listen to the concept. So Petey and the holodeck, Petey's holodeck in his basement, that's the premise of the show. It's comedy, sci-fi.
What's the conflict?
Every week, Petey is in a different holodeck adventure.
Okay.
All right?
What's the conflict?
The holodeck. It's going to cause all kinds of chaos in his life.
Okay.
because he's going to get stuck sometimes in it.
Okay.
He's going to go into a Western
Sounds
one week.
Sounds good. It's like Westworld.
Another week. Yeah, Westworld, but it's like different adventures every week. Okay. Now, if we can't get...
How many series in 12 shows?
We'll start off with an 8-episode
run. 8 episodes. Now,
if we can't get picked up for Star Trek to agree to let us use that, we'll make up a different premise.
Star Trek.
We'll call it Star Galaxy. He's a Star Galaxy fan.
Okay.
And then instead of calling it Holodeck, we'll call it Virtual Deck. Something.
That.
But we'll start off with PD and the Holodeck.
PD and the Virtual Deck.
Hey, you're not Gibby anymore.
You can't do that. You know that you're going to get in trouble with the Holodeck.
All right, number two.
Second
concept. Okay. Also comedy. But this is dark comedy. Dark comedy. Perverted Bob Cousy. That's the show. Okay, this is borrowing from the real life story of Bill Cosby.
Oh.
It's a comedian who gets off after being tried for rape charges. He's already, now his career is pretty much over, gone.
Yeah.
Tries to find redemption late in life.
Yeah.
Years of, like, mistakes.
Yes.
And being portrayed as being a real clean-cut family guy.
Yeah.
Tries to make amends at the end of his life. Perverted Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy.
Okay?
Cousy.
It's a second series concept. The third series concept, The Inventor. It's MacGyver meets Mad Max. Imagine a post-apocalyptic MacGyver that invents things to survive through the post-apocalyptic...
All right! Yay! Future! So, for that one!
The Inventor.
I like that one.
So which one do you like?
Inventor.
The Inventor?
Okay. And I like Holodeck, but you got to change it to Virtual Deck.
Virtual Deck.
Yeah.
We'll call it Space Galaxy.
Acid Cowboys on Space Galaxy.
Something like that.
Somewhere.
Okay, so The Inventor gets picked up?
Yeah.
Inventor. I'm greenlit.
Investor.
12 episodes?
12 episodes.
Oh, all right.
It's the safest one you got.
Really?
Yeah, it's more... It doesn't have to pretend off to being a parody of something else.
You don't gotta have to worry about Holodecks and all these other lawyers. You want to stay clear of all that.
The Inventor.
Yeah.
That name probably needs to be worked on a little bit.
Yeah, I would make it more skewed. I make it more cutting edge.
But the idea of a guy that's like a MacGyver in a post-apocalyptic time.
Right, I like that.
That's inventing stuff.
Because then you don't have to worry about locations other than really stark locations.
Yeah.
It's your locations, locations, locations. It's your character, your character, your character.
I beg of you to make him stop.
Okay!
We're going to go right into a segment we call Agree or Disagree. Kirk's never played Agree or Disagree. This
will be his
first score. Okay, no more Gibby.
No more Gibby?
No more. Gibby's going. Gibby's. That was a TV executive.
Gibby's tired now.
TV executive Gibby.
TV executive Gibby.
All right. I'm listening. Okay. All right. TV manufacturers have been freaking out over diminishing television sales. Millennials are not buying TVs. They watch shows on tablets, phones, mobile devices. Will the emergence of the VR gear for movie watching be the nail in the coffin for televisions? Agree or disagree?
I agree, but there's a caveat. Because at first, everybody will go to like theaters or they'll rent these VR things for their iPhones and they'll put them on and they'll watch these things. But one of the problems with people with their iPhones in the first place is that they like the uniqueness because they already have an iPhone and they get entrenched with the 3D feel, and then it'll be on some kind of like a holodeck like you were talking about. But the problem with it being a television per se and watching drama is that with what I understand is that when you are in the iPhone, you could be distracted and go over here where the characters are not. Like I'm looking at this great scene with these actors in front of Yosemite Falls. Then I'll go over here and I want to look at the lake.
Hmm.
You see what I mean? Because this generation likes to, I'm in VR. I can look at this river over here, or I can go down that trail, or I can, if you've ever seen these travelogue VRs yet,
yeah,
you can hover all the way down the creek You can go all the way down this city block. I don't have to watch these characters because they're boring and they're not Woody Harrelson.
So I'm going to go look at the creek instead.
Well, I might do that. I'm just saying there's too many possibilities. That's what I'm saying. That if you have the control, like you were in that theater when we were talking about, you had the control over wanting to watch something different, that's what will happen. And you can't control. It's all about control. I want to control your vision while you're watching my movie so you get to the ad. And that's why you have all these ads along the side.
Mm.
So VR movie, VR TV, where you're involved with a show, I don't think at the first it'll be a unique thing, but it'll fade out.
It's just
a fad.
Another fad. All right, number two, Jurassic World 2. You saw Jurassic World?
Yeah, I saw. I saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did you like the Jurassic World?
The more
recent one with Chris Pratt.
Well, I actually, on the web, I hate the first one because it was all new and it was a chomp fest. But I've changed my mind now because the dinosaurs and the animation were just terrific.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm talking about the one in the amusement park where they had the amusement park was open.
No, I'm talking about Jurassic World. Yeah, that was the open one. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, now, so Jurassic World 2.
Yeah.
Is in the works. The interweb is already speculating.
You mean the number two, as in with the Chris Pratt?
The current arch. Arc,
oh, okay.
The current story arc.
That's a reboot.
Yeah, the reboot.
Okay.
So the second one of the current reboot.
Uh-huh.
The interweb is already speculating, based on rumors and leaks, that in the new installment, the dinosaurs have been genetically modified to be hybrid soldiers.
Okay, yes, that's so, right.
And you know, they were kind of setting that up. They were starting to set that up.
That's exactly what happened in Two of Aliens.
And that's transitions over. So will this be the jump the shark moment for the new rebooted franchise? Because I don't know if you've
seen... It's already jumped the shark in the first one. They jumped that shark with a ski board with Fonzie trailing a blood of all the way down Cypress Creek litter.
Ready to make the jump. There he goes.
I don't know if you've seen that. Kind of like the VR lens are off to the creek overhead, hovering over to see Fonzie jump the shark.
I have seen that. It's terrible.
But I don't know if you've seen some of the images that were speculating what the some of the artwork that they're speculating to be from the movie.
There's always somebody out there designing their own to get you to watch.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's gonna look like this.
aliens, zombies. Yeah, sure, why not?
No, but more like robotic.
They like to do montage, collage with all this stuff. Sure, it's not a leak. It's a push to get you to watch. It's all spam. Can't you see that spam has grown? They got you to go to that site. You were all excited about this movie that you don't even know. You remember when Terminator 4 came out? They thought that Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to be in it, and it wasn't.
Yeah. So you think it's just going to be preposterous? That's just going to be silly?
No, I think it's a great idea.
You think it's going to be kind of cool?
Oh yeah, because that's what happens in Aliens. Alien 2.
Yeah.
Aliens?
Yeah.
James Cameron?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, that's the...
James Cameron is going to probably do this.
They're kind of going that route.
Yeah, why not? Because have to reinvent it.
He's doing like two more or three more Avatars?
Sure.
You know about that, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep busy. You got to... I mean, when Hollywood gives you all this money, you got to make movies.
Now, why is he okay with doing multiple Avatars, but he kind of jumped off the bandwagon of Terminator pretty quick?
He didn't see the technology as he couldn't develop the character further. He thought after two,
he thought it was pretty. So somebody else took on Terminator.
That's exactly what happens with Aliens as well.
Yeah,
he did. He looked at the script. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to do something new. I think he's happy with this Avatar because he has total control over that whole franchise.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't have with Aliens, and he didn't have with Terminator because I think Fox didn't want to give him the money for that. I'm not sure. But with Avatar, they were just pumping. You know, why don't you make an Icebergian Titanic 2?
I've always wanted a Terminator, or a Titanic.
Titanic Terminator.
Titanic Terminator.
Yeah, like, I want to see that.
Crossover.
Yeah, why not?
I'll never let go. I promise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
That's the movie I want to see.
It's Icebergian.
Number three. Well, the word on the new Deadpool 2 sequel is that it will poke fun at other superhero movie sequels.
Sure.
And saturation of superhero.
And they did that in the first one.
Yeah, and they did that in the first one.
A little bit, I guess.
Do you think it's going to be enough is enough, and it's going to kind of even offend Hollywood that it's being made fun of to that degree?
And no, they love it because it's like parody and satire. Like I say, they love that. And they want to be on board. If you saw Zoolander 2, everybody wants to be on board. You're poking fun at what we did back in those days. So yes, they'll love it to death.
So you disagree with that? That Hollywood will start getting mad about Deadpool making fun of it.
They will not get mad at it. They will pump it to death because the genre is really failing away. As you know, they rebooted Spider-Man 3 times, and they've rebooted all these other movies 3 or 4 times, and they're getting bored with themselves. They just said, well, let's bring it on. If it's popular and people are going to see it, it's all proof of how much of a blockbuster it is. And if you got those clips on YouTube or on TV, people go see it, then we got to make another one. I don't think they'll mind it. They love satire, and you'll be shocked by having it there too. I think that's the other thing.
I'm surprised you're not a big Deadpool fan. I would have thought you were more into Deadpool than you are.
Nah, not me. I mean, you know, I saw Deadpool with Clint Eastwood. That's the real one.
Is that?
Yeah, Harry Callahan, man. I don't like them stealing the name from another Harry Callahan franchise. But he stole the title.
He stole the title. He stole it.
No.
Clint Eastwood did.
Clint Eastwood made the first one.
Oh.
Got your fortune cookie.
What?
So you think you know what Dirty Harry's up to? Take another look.
It's no big secret. The Deadpool is just a harmless game.
Sounds pretty sick to me.
So on thoughts and advice to close out the show.
Oh, God. Gruesome. I don't want to see it.
Woman sleeps with a snake every night. She had started noticing the snake wasn't eating. She was worried about her pet snake. Well, the vet told her kind of what was going on when she finally took it to the vet. Our pets are just like any other pet part of the family, and we want them to be by our sides at all time, day or night. For many people, that means letting their pet sleep in the bed with them. That may be fine with a dog or cat or a blow-up doll or whatever it is you sleep with, but there are some pets that should not be allowed on the bed. If you don't believe us, just take a look at what happened here. One woman learned this the hard way when she let her beloved python sleep next to her in the bed every night. The snake would lay out across the bed, spreading across her from head to toe. Then one day, the python suddenly stopped eating, and the woman took him to the vet to find out what was wrong. They got a snake on an operation table, being hooked up with all the cables to check its vital signs. The vet asked several questions about the snake's behavior, and the woman told her about the unusual sleeping arrangement. That's when the vet started asking a series of pointed questions. The vet told her the shocking news: the python had stopped eating because it was preparing its stomach for a big meal that he had been stalking her. He was going to eat her. He was preparing himself. Thanks to the trip to the vet, this dutiful pet owner narrowly avoided her sweet snake-filled dreams turning into a nightmare, literally. So the snake didn't eat the woman, but here's the thoughts and advice of the day. Don't sleep with snakes.
I agree.
Don't. A snake is not a bedfellow.
I totally agree.
Don't even, like spoon with one on the couch.
Why?
Don't Netflix and chill with your snake.
Why do they? Because it's shocking TV. That's why they want you to watch.
Do you ever Netflix and chill, Kirk?
Netflix, yeah.
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
Yes, I do. So we can have a little Netflix
and chill. How did you find out the term?
Netflix. I was watching Netflix. Yeah. It's on the Netflix thing. They have an ad for Netflix.
Oh, they use
and chill.
That. Yeah. They use that.
Yeah, they got it.
Who started the Netflix and chill term?
Some comedian on a late night comedy show.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
And then it took off. It became a thing on social media.
Hey, well, dear Netflix and chill. Yeah, it was on one of those comedian shows, you know.
Don't go to the Last zoo. Man's Devin. Don't go to the zoo and pick up a snake and say, hey, you want to come over and Netflix and chill?
I mean,
if you're a woman and you can sleep with a guy that has a snake attached to him, but don't sleep with a snake. Yeah, exactly. Or if you're a gay male, you can sleep with another gay male that's got a snake attached to him. But don't sleep with the snake that's a standalone.
Standalone snakey. Sneaky snake.
You can have a dildo the size of a snake, but don't own a snake.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Yeah, I got you.
All right? You can curl up with your dildo that's the size of a snake, but don't curl up with a real snake.
That's the advice of the day.
And if you've got a huge fetish for snakes in general, just go to the toy store, Toy Joy, and get a rubber snake.
That's what they do.
You can have a whole bucket of rubber snakes, and you can roll around in them naked and put it up on the YouTube with your clown video.
They're smashing them in the corner of the garage.
That's the video we'll make. That's our movie. Okay. Cute cats, scary clown.
And sneaky snake.
And snakes in the bed.
Okay.
Hey, they had motherfucking snakes on the plane.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
It's snakes in the bed!
It's a motherfucking snake in the bed!
Snake in the bed!
You saw snakes in the plane, didn't you?
Yeah. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
But it made millions.
Oh, it was genius. But it was horrible.
Sharknado 3.
Sharknado's gonna. They've already made 3, haven't they? It's gonna keep going.
Sure.
That thing's gonna be like.
If people will watch it, they keep going.
They're gonna make Sharknado 8.
Yowzy.
We'll be gone way before Sharknado's.
Sharknado 10.
It'll be Sharknado 10. Okay. Kirk, I wanna thank you for coming on.
Yes, it was very good.
He's already taken funny. He's already had his headset off.
It's hot in here.
He was already getting his keys.
He's turning on the keys.
I had to bring him back here.
Chart that car.
And that was 15 minutes ago. And I actually had to bring him back in here and say, we're not done yet, Kirk.
Okay.
All right. Kirk, thank you for joining me for episode 31.
31, fun.
From the Thunder. And he gave us kind of the very...
Cup of Joe's worn out, though.
Oh, the Cup of Joe's worn out. We should have went for double.
Double it up.
We could have got
in the middle of it.
Double shot espresso.
In the middle of the show.
Yeah.
We need to take a break. Okay.
Episode 31.
We owe me lunch.
Everyone have a wonderful day, month, hour, second. All right, Kirk. We're out.
We're out. We're gone. Yo!
Okay, I lied.
Thunderpop! 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 Oh,
Thunderpop! See you later! Beat it! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks!
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.
And Thunderpop.